Tonight was Saturday, August 7th. No, it's Sunday morning, August 8th, I suppose.
Oh, shit. It's a long, dirty story, and I'm tired, and it's 5:30 in the morning, and just driven back from Keezy's in that awful, evil, heavy Pacific fog. But, what it amounted to is that the police parked outside his place all night long, and teams of anywhere from 2 to 4 cars and harassed philosophically. They actually pulled people over and gave them every, like me, I ended up with a $25 ticket on this dead, taillight thing. Not dead, my lights worked, but the red was broken, the yellow was showing. So that's an offense. But here, Keezy had in his classic cool manner, they put a sign on his gate saying the Merry Pranksters, which is at his group, the Merry Pranksters welcome the Hell's Angels. And great big letters, red, white, blue, the whole works, thus informing the whole community that he had the Hell's Angels for guests this weekend. And given the Hell's Angels recent publicity, that's about the worst and most terrifying thing he could possibly have said. And on top of his arrest, as an archaic thing, here you had a bunch of rapists, dope addicts, head smashers, moral loonies, the whole works. Nothing, no combination could have been worse for this. And I suspect really in Keezy's case that that's what appealed to him, that what made him do it. He has a real masochistic bent on all this.
As far as I know, the party turned out pretty well. When Angel characterized it as being a damn good thing, they all dug Keezy immensely. And Pete Nell, one of them, was saying, tonight it's been ha-ha, not thump-thump. And that seemed to sum up their situation as of about 5 o'clock last night when I left, to quote I want to use in the book.
About 8 miles down the road is a town called San Gregorio. Go down there to get some cheese and food, as I said. And the locals, these being honest-to-God local foreign types, and not these tourist resort people that are from Honda, were enraged at the thing like the Hell's Angel on the gate. They were saying, yeah, the Hell's Angels, and of course, yes, the police, oh, we gotta get them, yes. The same topic of conversation tomorrow was the fact that the Hell's Angels had come to Keezy, who was bad enough in his own right, and then to have these monsters.
I really kind of expected these people to go back to the rear of this general store and distribute axe handles among the populace and head up the road in a great truck to smash heads.
But the highlight of the evening, in terms of any kind of illumination for what I want to do with this book, was the really high-powered gang fuck of this, supposedly, what somebody told me, was one of Neil Cassidy's two wives. She was with Cassidy. She went through one great long session at this little house about 30 yards removed from Keezy's main house. And there are about 100 people around. The main situation. Keezy's situation, which, Keezy's speakers and sashes and drums and wires and madness and sounds and little lights and all that. I guess 5 acres there. But it was 30 yards away from the main house of a kind of studio they used to use for editing room for film. And here was this young lady out there, fucking everyone. And it didn't make much of an impression on me because I'd read so much about it and heard so much about it. But, I didn't think much about it until either a second or a third time around. When I went out, I saw him take. Somebody came and grabbed Neil Cassidy and said, hey man, let's go, come on, and Cassidy was, here's the hero of 3 novels, a literary figure, just blasted shitty out of his head with every kind of pot and pills and wine and beer and everything else, behaving like a 16-year-old drunk, and his wife up being fucked by everyone in the world, and, they dragged him out there. Some perverse reason that I probably should explore. and so I figured, well, this is bad.
And I felt responsible for having Casey bring these people down there. And so I thought I'd go along and, you know, try to catch up and see that there was no brutal action there.
Too much, yeah. Really unbelievable sort of scene to really see. It's enough, yeah, easy, very easy to hear about it, or to write about it, for your imagination. But to stop to see a woman down there on the floor like that, yeah, going for it in every way, and just out of her head and kind of talking to Neil. Apparently she had married at one point.
There were two really awful scenes there where she kept reaching up to kiss him. Cassidy, who was wandering around naked in the room while she was being slapped by everyone there. And it was just beyond belief, the pathetic kind of situation where she'd want to kiss her husband while she was being fucked by everybody in the world. People sitting on her face and the whole works. When you get that image of her lying here on the floor, with her dress kind of a shift pulled up to around her rib cage, and kind of pubic hair kind of shining in the dim light, and people bending over and pulling on her, and one of them sticking his dick in her mouth, and the other one screwing her, and just a mad, mad thing. And he stayed naked for about an hour, one day around the party, stark naked, being kind of thrown down on her, and to make him participate in it, which was really much worse. This is a night later. I'm going to tape over some of that business at the end of this tape, because I want to get these things on there. When I should wrap this, well, let me get the general image later on in the party. I could stand out, have anybody having once been in that room and watching it, as I was, about 6 feet away, could then, from outside, see through the door. With the lights were on, there was a kind of a filmy curtain over the door. You could see shadows moving around inside from as far away as the house. You could stand in front of the house, and if you knew what was happening, you could interpret the movements of all these shadowy figures behind this curtain. Silhouettes is what they were. And it was, in that way, kind of surrealistically horrifying. The image was ever present in the party, and luckily most people didn't know what was going on, but you could see people kneeling and jumping around and bending and getting up off of her and getting down on her, and other people holding her legs, and really too much. And the other note I wanted to get was that this romantic idea of these Hell's Angels outlaws can only, you know, has to be counterbalanced with the terrible realities like this one. Because, well, they do have these things. And any woman going into it to think that she's going to have an innocent little flirtation or maybe a quick hump with one can very quickly find herself surrounded by six or seven and with a public balance on her there. But nonetheless, Kesey and a lot of other people have this romantic sort of idea, and that when you find out, you usually find out very, you know, it hurts when you find out. Like, for instance, I don't want to mention any names, but there was somebody there who was suffering very heavily from this. And at one point, he was saying what great swinging boys these Hell's Angels were. And at one point, I saw one of them taking his wife off into the woods, or toward the shack, actually. I don't know what happened to her, but they were gone quite a while, and these guys don't take people off to talk about poetry and discuss various philosophical troubles.